Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. This is part two to the Adversary series. I was told in the conversation that I'm not allowed to use the word manipulation or the word adversary. And called out assembly. What does that actually mean when somebody asks you not to say these words or use these words on them? That means somewhere in their deep subconscious, they know they are manipulating you or trying to, and or knowing that they're being an adversary to you. An adversary only means that you are an opponent of somebody else. You are going against what somebody believes, says, or does. You are choosing yourself to be an adversary. And that's why I chose this word to attack, because I wanted to bring out the strength and power of Yahuwah and how he judges his people and how we can learn from how the Most High has used enemies in the waiting area to cause destruction in our lives or to right or correct our wrongs. And I said this in the last episode, that when we are tried and when we are judged, it really doesn't come from people that we don't know. It rarely ever comes from strangers. It comes from people that we've known or dealt with. So we should understand that it's not their fault that they try us. That it all comes in some weird fashion, some weird mystery, by the hand of Yahuwah, to either perfect our faith, try our faith, or bring to our attention that we don't have a lot of faith. So I stopped getting upset at the adversary, because I know it's spiritual. I know it's their ruach, and I know what I'm dealing with. I started to understand my own emotions and emotion intelligence and how I failed, because I expected everybody to be raised the way I was raised. I expected everybody to have the same common sense and logic that I had, the same experiences. And you'll find out later in life, if you haven't found out about this now, that a lot of people weren't born in the same condition as you were in. A lot of people didn't get raised the same way you were. Y'all may have gone to the same public school education, even secondary education, maybe even have the same jobs. But the ruach that is in you is completely different from the ruach that is in them. Different traumas, different experiences. And this is what I started to learn. Like, why am I overreacting with somebody who just don't get it and will probably never get it? Their brain is skewed in a way that prevents them to be corrected, prevents them to take accountability. I get in trouble for saying this sometimes. When I say I don't care, I say I don't care in the aspect of there's nothing for me to say to you that'll make me care more to make you get it. I don't care that you don't get it. You're not meant to get it, because your life experiences taught you that whatever goes against your framework and your mind, your ruach, you are not going to accept from the person that's giving you this information. Especially if you see yourself and know you that you see yourself as an adversary trying to manipulate a situation to get the better reaction for you, so you can be right and the other person be wrong. I stopped caring a long time ago about these certain situations. I do. I truly do. And it's hard for me to handle it. So I come to the called out assembly and I make it into an episode, and I find where the Most High has used our people, the enemies that are around about us that we have dealt with before in the past, and how he raises them up to cause judgment. I'd rather focus on the power of the Most High Yahuwah rather than focusing it on myself and complaining and bitching and whining about why this doesn't, because I know why I don't. I know why I don't click with certain people. I know why I don't. Sadly, it ain't nothing you could do about it. That's how you this is how you protect your peace. Truly protect your peace. Will you go days without speaking to this person? Will you go weeks without speaking to this person? Probably. But it has nothing to do with you. Because I realize that people want to be coddled. They want you to come hands and knees begging for the attention. And I had never been that type of person. But they're going to find out the hard way. Truly find out the hard way. I felt like this in my relationship that I thought was going to work. It said she wanted to be a Christian instead of being what she really is an Israelite. So I demonstrated to the Most High Yahuwah when I said I will never have an unequally yoked household. I meant it. And I could care less. I didn't fight for that relationship. I just said, look, this is what you're doing wrong, blah, 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 block. And then that I went on about my life. That's how I move now. I put so much of my trust in the Most High Yahuwah that if things truly get unraveled around me, I just throw my hands up like, I don't care. He could have destroyed me so many times. He could have destroyed you so many times before. So now you know when he's dealing with you, and you know things are starting to bubble up around you, making you uncomfortable. Fam, just act like you don't care. Because that's what these spirits around do. And like I said, we don't know what goes on beyond that veil. We don't know when we are being pressed. We don't know when we're about to be pressed. Sometimes, like I said before, you can sense it. You can sense when something's going to happen. Sometimes it's best to just stay still and let it unravel around you. The Most High said he will carry us. He will make sure he won't put too much on our plate that we can handle. He won't put a lot on your back. So I literally start to sit still and not react to every little thing. Because that's what the person that you're dealing with wants you to do. Because if they don't react, they expect you to overreact. There's no cause for me to overreact anymore. So you start to learn and observe how people move and act. And it's all based on trauma that they have not resolved in their own life. And it projects and it falls out and it's like word vomit. You know where it comes from. So I was told not to use the word adversary and manipulation. That sounds like somebody that wants to manipulate you and be your adversary to me. So before I get into the last of this little episode, did y'all see Donald Trump hired, or she got confirmed, Erica Schwartz? Yes, you already know from the last name, but this time it's a black woman. Now, she looks African. She could be Negro, but the fact that she's black. And she got confirmed, and she's been called the queen of mandating vaccines. So what does this tell you? This tells you that they're preparing for another pandemic. This time, they want white folks to get mad at the black woman. So then, in turn, it's racism. So then the black side of America can raise up and to defend her and then go run to get vaccines, destroying their bloodline, destroying their ruach, their cells, doing all this to try to combat racism. And this is how they set it up. She went into her confirmation hearing wearing the Star of Rimfon, the Star of Shaun, the Jewish star. She's married to a Jewish man, which is why she has the last name Schwartz. This is already a telltale sign what is about to pop off. I remember they released that movie that was about lockdowns. And I don't know if people actually saw it, but I forgot what it was called. But it was like about lockdowns. People couldn't go out in the streets, none of that. And people thought it was going to be about this lockdown, but I think it's for the lockdown in the future. So a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, which is funny because around the same time in 2019, there was a patent. Rockefeller had a patent that they were using 5G and 6G frequencies to disrupt cells. And so if they have more metals in your body, more toxins in your body, the frequency could agitate whatever these vaccines are when you put them in your body. The metals that are in the air, the plastics that we eat and drink. All of this is like a cocktail of stuff that they can control through frequency. So they're getting ready to push this 6G, which I really think is for the whole AI data centers. Now, mind you, this is also what they're preparing, because they've been bragging about this, about how they're going to squash dissidents that go against Israel. I mean, you've seen a couple of videos of police officers going to people's doors and say, hey, I heard you were criticizing Israel. And they brought up a whole sheet of his comments on a social media platform. They won't be able to do that after a while because they'll have AI data centers. And what they will do in using AI is that if you have said anything with Israel, said anything, it'll all come up in less than 20 seconds. Even faster than that, since it's going to be 6G and the AI works faster than, I think, cell phone usage. So imagine you go into a job. You're going into a job and you're going for an entry-level position. They probably won't tell you. But they'll go to, I'm pretty sure they don't have a system, an app, for all people who are hirers, all businesses. You type in, has this person said anything about Israel? Bring up all of his social media platform handles. And everything comes up. And then they'll come back and tell you, like, oh, we can't hire you because what you said here, here, and here. That's coming. So all these people who are from the upper middle to lower, I would suggest them to shut up. Especially these blue collar jobs that people have. I suggest people shut up. It even says in Baruch, the intelligent shall be but few, and the wise who know most of all will remain quiet. It's coming to a time you're not going to be able to say nothing against Israel. So if you can't say nothing against Israel, you're not going to say nothing against the beast. So it's looking like real 1984-ish over here. That's coming soon. The podcasts, the social media platforms talking about the truth, it's all going to get broken up. And so when people want to know the truth and live in the truth, they're not going to be able to find it. It's going to be a drought. Now, there's always ways to go around it. It's always ways. If any movie, dystopian movie that ever taught you when any system has taken control over something, it's always a very small population of people who will make it, who are able to share the truth and wake others up. So all is not lost. They don't control everything. They ain't that powerful. If they were that powerful, I said this before, they would already flick the switch and eradicate a lot of the people and call it a day without even having to go through predictive programming, Hollywood, sports, and politics, if they truly had this power. Now, back to the adversaries of Yahuwah. In your disobedience, in your sin and iniquity and unrighteousness, you don't want to be the adversary of Yahuwah. Second Baruch 64, 1 through 10. And the black ninth waters, which you have seen, this is all the wickedness which was in the days of Manasseh, the son of Jezekiahu, for he wrought with much impiety, and he slew the righteous, and he perverted judgment, and he shed the blood of the innocent, and wedded women he violently polluted. To violently pollute, which means he probably raped her. And he overturned their altars, destroyed their offerings, and drove forth the priests, lest they should minister in the sanctuary. And he made an image with five faces. Four of them looked to the four winds, and the fifth on the summit of the image as an adversary of the zeal of the Most High Yahuwah. And then wrath went forth from the presence of Elohim to the intent that Zion should be rooted out, as also it befell in your days. But let's go back. So he made himself an image with five faces, the four going to the four winds, and then the five on a summit, which is above the four faces, as an adversary, as an enemy, as an opposition to the righteousness and holiness of the Most High Yahuwah. But also against the two tribes and a half went forth the decree that they should also be led away captive, as you have now seen. And to such a degree did the impiety of Manasseh increase that it removed the praise of the Most High from the sanctuary. For though his prayer was heard with the Most High, finally, when he cast into the brazen horse and the brazen horse was melted, it served as a sign unto him for the hour. Now let's go to his prayer. The prayer of Manasseh, O Yahuwah El Shaddai, of our fathers Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and of their righteous seed, who have made heaven and earth with all the ornament thereof, who have bound the sea by the word of your commandment, who have shut up the deep and sealed it by your terrible and glorious name, whom all men fear and tremble before your power. For the majesty of your glory cannot be borne, and your angry threatening towards sinners importable. But your merciful promise is unmeasurable and unsearchable. For you are El Elyon, of great compassion, long-suffering, very merciful, and repent of the evils of men. You, O Yahuwah, according to your great goodness, have promised repentance and forgiveness to them that have sinned against you, and of your infinite mercies have appointed repentance unto sinners that they might be saved. You, therefore, O Yahuwah, that are the Elohim of the just, as to Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, which have not sinned against you, but you have appointed repentance unto me that am a sinner, for I have sinned above the number of the sands of the sea. My transgressions, O Yahuwah, are multiplied. My transgressions are multiplied, and I am not worthy to behold, to see the height of heaven. For the multitude of my toilless deeds, I am bowed down with many iron bands, that I cannot lift up my head, neither have any release. For I provoked your wrath and done evil before you. I did not do your will, neither kept I your commandments. I have set up abominations and multiplied offenses. Now, therefore, I bow my knee of my heart, beseeching you of grace. I have sinned, O Yahuwah, I have sinned, and I acknowledge my toilless ways. Wherefore I humbly beseech, forgive me, O Yahuwah, forgive me, and destroy me not with iniquities. Be not angry with me forever by reserving evil for me, neither condemn me to the lower parts of the earth. For you are the Elohim, even the Elohim of them that repent. And in me you will show all your goodness, for you will save me, that I am unworthy according to your great mercy. Therefore I will praise you forever, all the days of my life, for all the powers of the heavens do praise you, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is a powerful prayer. If you sin, cause an offense of the Torah, or a snare or stumbling block unto yourself, and you feel like you're backsliding, this is the template in which you should, or how you should pray. Did it work? Obviously, it did not. It says, for though his prayer was heard with the Most High, finally, when he was cast into the brazen horse, and the brazen horse was melted, it served as a sign unto him for the hour. For he had not lived perfectly, for he was not worthy, but that thenceforth he might know by whom finally he should be tormented. For he who is able to benefit is also able to torment. That's a bar at the end of it. So this is really an attack to atheists who love to bring up, oh, so if Hitler said he accepted Lord Savior Jesus Christ, after all he did, he would be accepted into heaven. King Leopold, all he had to do was fall on his knees and said, I accept the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and all my sins are forgiven, and I'll be in heaven. But here is a definite answer that anybody who has made atrocities, especially atrocities against the Heavenly Father Yahuwah, you are not getting redemption. The words were pretty, the prayer was pretty, but at the end of the day, judgment. Living perfectly is what he asked for us to do. Now, we will never be as perfect as Yahusha, but it's the attempt to remain perfect with the Most High Yahuwah and be perfect at heart. The Most High knows and understands our emotional baggage. He knows our trauma. He knows what we latch on to in the times of the heat of the battle. He knows this. He knows us. But to remain perfect with him in heart, in love, is what's going to cause you to come under his merciful power. I'd rather be benefited. So many people keep throwing out, why you do this? Why you do that? Why you do this? Why you do that? Fam, I'm trying to be benefited. I'm trying to be benefited. I'm not trying to be destroyed. I'm trying to be benefited. I'm trying to demonstrate to him that I love his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, that I'm listening. I'm willing to obey. Not to question why I have to do it. Not question why I should do it. Not question why I need to do it. I just do it. That's the love you need to have. It's an unquestionable love you have for him. If he says this is what he likes, you do it. How is this difficult? I mean, explain it to me. Why is it difficult? If he says, I want this done, and this is the way I want it done, I like this, and this is the way I like it, who are we to say, why do we have to still do this? Who are we? He said it so many times that he is no respecter of persons. He could care less what I did in my former life. It's what I'm choosing to do now. He don't care how many songs you use his name in. He don't care what albums you sell with him in mind. What are you doing for him that isn't for your own vainglory? And so if you're choosing not to do what he asked, are you not making yourself an adversary? And if you are making yourself an adversary, do you not expect the judgment to come from all four sides of you, from people you probably know, and or for him to deal with you so drastically, so heavy-handed, that you share the same fate as Manasseh? And then mind you, I know a lot of you ain't out here murdering and killing folk and setting up idols and images, but you could do all of that within your heart. You could do all of that within your thoughts. You may not do it with your actions, but you could do it with your heart and your thoughts. Medeahu 5:22-25. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of the fire of Gehinnom, of hell. Whosoever is angry with his brother without cause. This is what this walk has been exposing throughout the Israelite community. Some people are having anger against those without cause and trying to cover it up and say, oh, this person's wrong because they don't have all of the Strong's Concordance Hebrew words memorized. Anger without cause. At least there's levels to that. Anger without cause could lead you into judgment, or it could lead you to the council. And if you run around telling people they don't know what they're talking about, they're fools, you're in danger of hell. So it's like a court system. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. He's saying that it is better to reconcile with your adversary before you offer a gift. That means you can't even come to the altar being upset or not having reconciliation with your brother who is also in the truth or also in this walk. This is why I said I don't get upset if people are teaching the wrong thing. I don't get upset if somebody tries to blast me on TikTok or expose me on Instagram. I don't care no more about that. It's not even worth my anger. And I said this before, it's based on how people grew up, how they lived, and they now have found some type of notoriety for learning scripture that's been in the Bible for thousands of years. And they don't know how to handle praise. Don't know how to handle being exalted, but also don't know how to handle being humbled. So I no longer fight unnecessary battles amongst the community anymore. So I am not ever sitting in judgment. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and you be cast into prison. That's almost, if you look at it from the spiritual sense, that if my adversary doesn't quickly agree with me or come to some reconciliation, I'm going to go to the judge. I can go to the judge or I can go to the officer. Now, who's the officer in this matter? Yahushua HaMashiach. And who's the judge? Yahuwah Elohaka. That's who I can go to. If my adversary or the adversary at the time don't want to act right, I go to Yahushua HaMashiach and I go to Yahuwah Elohaka, the officer and the judge, to plead my cause. If this person wants to walk around and not speak, and have an attitude for 5 or 6 days straight, I'm going right to the judge. I'm not putting myself in a position to try to humble somebody and in fear of I get humbled or judged. So I plead my cause with the Most High Yahuwah. That is how you stop the adversary in your relationships. This is how you stop the adversary in your household. This is how you stop the adversary amongst your friends group and the community or the called out assembly. Yeshayahu 58 through 11. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, Adonai Yahuwah will help me. Who is he who shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears Yahuwah, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of Yahuwah and stay upon his Elohim. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Walking around pissed off, upset, mad, moody, whatever you want to call it, you can have it. I'm giving to you what you want. You're going to be upset because I'm not entertaining or overreacting to such behavior. That's what you got to do to deal with people in this generation now. This is what you have to do. You don't know how long they've been spending looking at reels, looking at TikToks, looking at post after post of their mind being seared with a hot iron, the consciousness of they are always right, they are on the pedestal, they need to be exalted, this me campaign that has never died down since the invention of social media. Y'all don't know what y'all dealing with. Y'all need to start truly thinking about what people are consuming, and like it says in scripture, they will be lovers of themselves, boastful, heady, high-minded. I mean, that's it. That's what you know what you're dealing with. They basically describe narcissism, a personality disorder, being egotistical, and prideful. That's what they described of how people will react in later times. I like that on verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. You so hot, you so mad, you so upset that you truly think this is the light of the truth because you think your emotions is truth. That's what he's saying. You think emotions is your truth. All them sparks you sparking up. Oh, I gotta be right. I'm upset. This is how I feel. My feelings are true. My emotions are true because I feel it. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. He is near that justifies me. All you gotta do is go to the officer and the judge. Justify me. A real man will ask the Most High to judge him or humble him based on the information that he comes to him with. Hey, y'all, I think I'm right, but if I'm not right, tell me I'm not right. This is what's been said. Of course, you know what's been said because you're the ultimate stenographer. The Most High is the ultimate stenographer. Y'all know what a stenographer is, the person that in court types everything that's ever been said. The Most High knows every situation from how it started, from how it ended. That's who you go to. You go to the judge. And I love to go to the judge and the officer. Because I know if I'm going to be humbled, just like David, I'd rather fall into the hands of the Most High Yahuwah rather than fall into man. I'd rather be looking foolish by the Most High Yahuwah than let man make me look foolish. If I am used as an adversary to humble myself and appreciate being meek and small, I will do so. But if I'm justified in being right, in my heart, I'm going to say, who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Funny, in hindsight, I did that with that girl who made this post, that TikTok post about day and night. Justification to the adversary. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is the Most High Yahuwah which works in you both to do his will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of Yahuwah, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This is why I also stop attacking people in the community on social media. I mean, making like posts directed to insult them. I used to do that in the beginning. I used to insult. If you were with me in the first podcast before it was terminated, that's exactly how I was talking. I think in the earlier episodes of this podcast, I was attacking people. But it does not look like I'm shining my light to a crooked and perverse nation. It looks like I'm doing as this crooked and perverse nation. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Mashiach, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is what I do know about offerings, feast days, the statutes, the ordinances, the laws, the commandments. I know my work will not be in vain. I may not offer an entire lamb or an entire ox upon my altar. I may not even have the measurements of flour, wine, and oil, and salt that's supposed to be mingled with every offering or sacrifice. But I know my labor won't be in vain because I'm doing it with my whole heart. And the Most High will not suffer me to be moved when I'm doing something for him with my whole heart. Why would he knock me off his program of getting the worship that he wants? To worship him in Ruach and in truth. Why would he cause me to be shaken? Even when Satan was tempting Abraham and Yitzhak on their way to offer Yitzhak on the altar, Satan could only provide an illusion to stop Abraham and Yitzhak's path, but he can never stop their path. He may have slowed it down, but they still continued. Satan's supposed to be powerful, the most knowledgeable being. Yet the best he could do with Abraham and Yitzhak was make like water showed up into a place where there was no water. Or catch a ram in a thicket so he couldn't switch out the sacrifice for Yitzhak for the animal. That's the best he could do? I mean, and what was the benefit of Abraham staying on task, staying on that path? He had countless women to have countless children, given riches, given honor. We talk about Father Abraham so much, and he's been gone for a while now. When a man has a great reputation, it can exceed his life expectancy. When a man is walking with the Most High Yahuwah, his blessings will exceed his life expectancy. Getting more than you ever thought you could get in your lifetime. Why I'm doing ascending smoke offerings? Why I'm doing drink offerings? I thought it would be apparent why we all should be doing it. Because that's what they did. Abraham did it. Yitzhak did it. Yaakov did it. The Levites did it. Children of Yashrael did it. I could never understand the mentality of after being blessed and saved, and you know from the stories that have been told to you, just like stories been told to us thousands of years ago. Why would you in your mind still say, you know what, I'm going to go into these other nations' religions and I'm going to set up idols that don't breathe, that don't talk, that don't say, don't do nothing. And I'm going to pour out drink offerings and light incense to them. What kind of mentality do you have to do that? Hearing stories that you once, your family members once talked to angels, seen angels in their glorious form, seen them. To a couple of decades later, be like, nah, I wanna join myself to people who sacrifice children and throwing babies in the fire. When Mordecai said in Ezra that he saved one cluster and one grape, and with work he has made it perfect, he's talking about us in this generation. Truly making it perfect, understanding where we came from and how we fell and how also we can be redeemed. I don't know why this is so difficult to understand. And if it is, it's because you're still attached to this world, still attached to this system. Your spirituality is attached to it. Your ruach is attached to it. Your mind is attached to it. Because it ain't like working where you know you're getting paid for overtime. You know that overtime check is definite. You know if you exceed past your normal work hours, you know if it creeps into overtime, you know that next check going to have a couple of more numbers added to it. When it comes to doing these offerings and ascending smoke offerings, you don't know when you will be paid. That's the whole point of faith. But also, what he's caused you to do doesn't take 4 to 5 hours. It doesn't take a 9 to 5. What he's asking you to do doesn't take a 9 to 5. It doesn't even take overtime. It barely takes 30 minutes of your time. Barely. And he's willing and ready to give you a whole year full of blessings and benefiting your lifestyle. Why make yourself an adversary to the Most High after I explained all that he could do to uproot you? That is having a true fear of the Most High that we never actually had when we were just in Christianity, Catholicism, or Islam. We didn't have that real fear. We just had the statutes and the fear of man. They joked and laughed at you when you didn't come to church multiple times or didn't put money in the collection plate. They said, oh, you're going to hell. Every little thing you did, oh, you're going to hell. It made you reject the word altogether because it was given to you by man. The ordinance and statutes was given to you by man. Now you figure out it is given to you by the Most High Yahuwah. Now everything's got to be questioned. That is also how you also defend yourself. Regardless of who else becomes an adversary in your life, this is how you defend yourself. This is how you justify yourself. Because people who are in these commandments and these statutes, not only do you have a proper hedge built up around you, but you have the Ruach to know when it's your time to take accountability and you'll fall back, or when you know you will be justified. People who are not truly walking and walking their emotions, walking in their feelings, they have a problem accepting accountability because it's their emotions and feelings that serves them and they serve it. So as long as their feelings and emotions validate themselves, they will never hear the accountability, judgment, or calling by the Most High Yahuwah. That saves you when you're not in your emotions and your feelings. It saves you so you don't get judged and you become an adversary to the Most High Yahuwah. Because just as Most High Yahuwah loves his statutes, ordinances, he also loves the positions of power that he instituted on earth. When it comes to the head of the household, when it comes to being a child, when it comes to being a wife or a mother, it all has order. All of it has order. And that's one thing he delights in too, is order. And if you are either a husband and you're out of order, or either you're a wife and you're out of order, you better start being very firm in that faith and searching for justification and not the justification of your emotions and your feelings. Because the other person on the other side, either who's around you that's walking in this faith, if they go to the judge and go to the officer, you better beware of those that the Most High can raise up around you to anger you and to humble you. That is the reason why I made these two episodes, because I think it's important to understand his power and what he can do. So we don't sit there and blame people around us like, oh, they hating on me. This is why I was attacked. Oh, it was Satan. This is why I was attacked. These unclean ruachs is this is why I was attacked. And we fail to look at ourselves and say, oh, I sinned, I transgressed, I talked out of turn, I talked out of my mouth, I was flippant, I was being an adversary, and now I'm being humbled for it by the Most High Yahuwah. And he chose whatever avenue he wanted to choose in order for me to bow my neck unto his statutes and his order. Some people will never understand this or listen to this episode because it sounds too much like right. This is a waste of time stomping around, pissed off like somebody stole your bike or cut off your dog's head. When all you have to do is look in the mirror and be like, ah, this is why. This is why. My bar of respect and understanding goes up all the time when I pour into the scriptures and I find out how the Most High Yahuwah has used adversaries, enemies, even his own beloved king after his own heart to cause judgment, truly showing that he has all the power. And with that power, I know he will either justify me or he will humble me. And I'd rather for it, like I said again, to come from him and nobody else. If you are a real man, that's exactly the avenue in which you should go. Let it come from Yahuwah first. Then you sit back and you have a smoke and a smile, a cigar and a smile, or some wine and a smile. Just sit back and watch yourself be justified.